If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless your word today. I pray before I walk in this building. I pray the night before. I pray to you all week long. But Lord, I'm just praying a particular prayer right now. Lord, that you will help us to hold out just a little while longer. And whatever we're holding out for, help us to hold on to you and to your word and to your precious promises until the change comes and the answer comes. Help us not to give in and not to give up. Help us not to look back. Help us to remember Lot's wife today. Lord, help us to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For the promises of God are yea and amen to everyone that believe. And we believe today. Help us to receive today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I've often said it before. I'm going to say it again today. Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted, because it will fail you when you need it the most. So we're not talking about all the good days, the wonderful days when everything's going good and you're not in that valley of doubt or fear, or you're not in that vacillating place of I'm standing on the word, but I don't see any changes coming. I'm getting fatigued. I'm getting tired. David knew those very feelings. That's why the book of Psalms, if you really get down and out, and you're wondering, and you get impatient, and you get discouraged, go to the book of Psalms, because there's a man like that in the book of Psalms that found himself in a horrible pit, as he described it, but he said, he delivered me from the horrible pit. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock, and he put a song in my heart. Can you say amen? This man said, I've been there. I know how bad it can get, but he lifted me out. And not only did he lift me out, he established me. Praise God. And he put a song of praise where this doubt and fear and all of these things used to abide. And he said the humble are going to hear about it, and they're going to be glad. And this is that negative use of the word humble. It's not the positive use of humble. It's the negative use of it. It means those that are crushed by life. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He said he wept so much over Israel's sin and rebellion and the consequences that he saw coming and knew was coming. He said, my tears make my bed to swim. I weep so much at night, it's like my tears could... I know he's exaggerating, but he's trying to get a point over that the tears never quit streaming when I think of where this nation that has the blessing promised and provided by God is now headed. And they surely went into Babylon's captivity. If we don't faint, many things are going to occur in our life that can't occur until we stand upon the word of God and stand upon the promises of God. And do it long enough for God to come through in his timing, in his wisdom, in his way. One of the great needs of our life, not to faint, is patience. The Bible said, you have need of patience in Hebrews 10. Verse 32 of Hebrews 10 says, after you were illuminated, everything became wonderful. Life was just a cakewalk. Everything you touched was blessed and everything. No, after you were illuminated. After you saw yourself as a sinner and saw Christ as your Savior and you accepted Him, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Adversity came. Can you say amen? And it came hard. Well, how long does it last, Brother Venable, until we get out of Him? It don't get over. When I read about the day of adversity, I thought in my life, every day there's some adversity. I don't think I've had a day off since I've been saved. Did you get days off where there's no trouble ever? Nothing to trouble you? I mean, it's one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And we're all tempted to just want to throw in the towel. Amen. I used to look at a picture of a pasture and a cow out in the pasture and thought, boy, I'd like to have a house way out beyond that pasture. You know, I'd like to be way out in the country. I'd like to put on Gallus overalls so I don't have to worry about my waistline. Put on Gallus overalls, get me a straw hat, sit on my front porch and sip me an iced tea or lemonade in my rocking chair. Just retire from the troubles of life. But it'll find you. It'll find you. If you owe taxes, the tax man will find you. Won't he find you? He don't know. Yeah, like he don't know. Anyway, we're not even going to go there. We love you, John. We really love you, John. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's no place to go. I want to go out west. I want to find the range. Home, home, home. The range where the deer and the antelope play, where never, can you imagine a place like that on this planet? Where never is heard a discouraging word. The skies, Lord have mercy. They're not cloudy all day long. Obviously, that guy hadn't been in a tornado in Texas. Can you say amen? Amen. There's no place like that on this planet. Jesus tried to warn us about it, to brace us for it, and tell us don't sweat it, so we wouldn't be blown away when it all came down. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not like the world gives you. I looked up peace in the dictionary, and the Webster's dictionary, the shortest, most concise, brief explanation of peace is the cessation of wars. No more wars. Let me tell you something about wars. I'm not talking about just on the planet, but within us as Christians. Paul said, I'm at war all the time. The flesh wars against the spirit in Romans 7, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And he said, that is a law in my members. That's never going to stop going on. That's why I tell people, if you're struggling with the flesh, that's a good thing. It's the people that are not struggling with it that I'm concerned about. It's healthy to have a struggle with it. I struggle with scripture that tells me to love my enemy. You don't struggle with that? It's not something I find naturally. I have to yield to the Lord, surrender to God. I mean, when you want to throttle somebody and he says to pray for him, I pray for him, all right. Get him, God. Get him, God. Whoop him, Lord. Whoop him good. And let me be there when you do. No, that's the flesh. You don't know what spirit you're of. Everybody has a struggle with the flesh. Every preacher, no one gets to a place of such super sanctification that battle doesn't rage within. And Paul got faint-hearted, amen, in the day of adversity, in that battle in Romans chapter 7. He said, when I would do good, guess what? Evil just presents itself. I don't go after it. It comes after me. He said, the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I just get into this struggle all the time. And this struggle began to wear on him and wear him down. So here's a man under the law in Romans 7 without the help of God trying to live out the letter of the law. And he's finding himself defeated day in and day out. And he finally ends up in that faint-hearted attitude because Romans 7 gets down. He said, there's a law in my members that the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh, so I cannot do the things that I would. If I give in to my flesh, I'll do wrong before God. I'll break every one of his commandments. But if I follow him, amen, I find that there's this force that is always ever present pushing back against me. And he got in such a battle wanting to do right. The desire, he said, is within me, but how do you carry it out? And finally he used a word in the Greek, wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am, because I'm in a pitiful state. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? And if he'd stopped right there, he would have left us in a dilemma and we'd all be in a mess that we couldn't get out of. But he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. I thank God there's victory in Jesus. I thank God there's strength in Jesus. I thank God there's grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then this man that felt so awful all the time, that found in Christ what he needed to overcome. Amen. Romans 7 segues into Romans 8. And he said, now therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit but not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. One translation said that vicious circle of sin and death has been broken because his life is now in us as his children. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Someone who doesn't understand what Jesus offers says everybody's got to sin a little bit every day. That's baloney. You can't be sinlessly perfect. But the Bible said, let not sin reign in your body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Don't let it rule you. Used to be a song that said, don't let the devil ride with you. Don't let him drive your car. Because if you let him drive your car, he'll drive too far every single time. Someone said, and I think it was Robert A. Venable, he said, sin will take you where you don't want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and refuse to let you go when you want to leave. Amen. But it doesn't matter how much sin or Satan doesn't want to let you go. If you want to be free, Jesus came with an anointing to set the captive free and to set at liberty those that it is bruised and battered and beaten so badly. Can you say amen? There is victory in Jesus Christ, or I wouldn't be married today. The devil would have divided us and conquered us and destroyed our marriage. Preachers' marriages are failing. Christian marriages are failing. And the failure rate is right up there with the world that doesn't have the resources that we have in Jesus Christ. It's got to be a victory in the church. We've got to hear the sound of victory again. There's got to be a testimony restored. We can't just let the devil keep defeating the warriors of God. Because the weapons of our warfare are not just discipline in our flesh. It's devoting our life to Christ and trusting Him and believing that there's more to the Christian life than just getting your sins forgiven. There's something called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. He set us free to serve Him. He brought them out of Egypt so they could what? So they could sacrifice to Him and serve Him and follow Him and obey Him. He set them free to serve Him and not sin and not self. And as long as they did, nobody could touch Israel and nobody could hurt them. Amen. If God had to send an angel and destroy 185,000 troops, He did it. Praise God. Amen. To keep His covenant until they compromised, until they begin to walk in rebellion and fail to repent. Then their enemies prevailed over them. There's always going to be a war. Always going to be a battle. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And he said, it's not just you, it was also in your brethren. It's not like, you know, you're the black sheep of God's family and everybody else is just cakewalk, but here you are going through it. Everybody goes through it. In this world, how many people in this room are still in this world? Almost everyone. We always... Almost. We never have 100%, but it's not a trick question. If you're in this world, you're in a fallen world. The Bible said while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Not the spiritual presence, but the absolute, unbridled, physical presence of God. How many are still at home in the body? Amen? You're still here with us in the the here and now. In this world. It's a promise of Christ in this world. This fallen world and this faulty body in this world with an enemy. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion. He's hungry, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't let the devil ride with you. You have absolute authority over him. Don't let the flesh defeat you. You have a great enemy in your flesh, but you have a great ally in Jesus Christ. And if God be for you, 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 the issue is no longer who is against you. If God be for you, Paul said, who can be against you? Who can defeat God when he stands between you and the one that stands against you? Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Ancient Israel got intimidated. Intimidated by all the people that wanted their destruction. And God spoke through the prophet. And he said to Israel, where is the fury, the oppressor? Where is the fury of the oppressor? He said, if you serve me and bow only to me and return to me and I return to you, and someone wants to hurt and harm you and I stand up in your behalf, where is that oppressor? I don't see the problem. In other words, you can't keep blaming the devil for your defeat. Flip Wilson was a great comedian. How many remember Flip Wilson on television? Who made, when he played the Geraldine character, who made him do her do the thing she knew was wrong? What was the cop out? If that stayed with Flip Wilson, it would be great, but it's come into the church because there's so little victory. We just blame the devil for our defeats. We blame him a lot of times for our own flesh. We fail to crucify the flesh. And if you don't crucify it, it's gonna rise up. You slap me, I'm going to slap you harder. Your flesh will rise up. And Paul's had risen up so much, he said, I'm fatigued. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Don't give up on God. And don't give up on victory. There is victory in Jesus Christ. It's not in you, but it is in him. Can you say amen? There is a place in God where you begin to overrule and override the flesh. Amen. The Bible said be angry, because to tell you not to be angry is to tell you not to be human. It would dehumanize you. You're going to have anger. Everybody's got it. Everybody's got it. There's no doubt about it. There's no one that is beyond the capacity of this test and temptation. Everybody gets mad. Everybody gets angry. Some may be a predisposition to more than others, but everybody feels it. I told that story, and there are people in here getting angry with me. We're going to Plant City and straighten them out. Be angry. That's why the Bible didn't say, don't ever get angry, because that's impossible. Because we live in this world, in this body, faulty body, fallen world. So he says, be angry, sin not. Don't let it lead you where it will take you if it's not restrained. Don't let the sun, don't let it fester. Everybody say, don't let it fester. Don't let the sun go down. That's not 24 hours, darling. That's 12. Can you say, man, if you got angry when you got out of bed, and some people get up angry. Come on. Some people get up mad. Lady went to a psychologist, family counselor rather. She's going. She can't get her husband to come. She's been having anger issues at him. She walks in, sits down. The counselor asks, did you wake up grumpy this morning? She said, no, I just let him sleep. Everybody gets angry. The Bible said, don't let it lead you to sin. Be angry. But sin, how can that be? How can anger come and it not lead me to sin? Because the Bible said that we are not to let sin be the ruling element in our life. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Everybody say forgiveness. It dismantles, it disarms anger. And Satan uses anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Amen? I used to drink old Fisher beer at work and sip Southern Comfort straight on the way home. Because I took Benzedrine to work in a warehouse and pull big production amounts to speed my heart rate up. We bought it from the truck drivers who used it to keep from going to sleep. So it was Benzedrine to get, you know, get you going. And then it was the liquor to mellow you so I could go home and go to sleep, get a few hours sleep and start the process again. That was my pattern. That's where my flesh was leading me. People have mixed things that I was getting close to mixing that could have destroyed not only my marriage, but my life. And I'm going to tell you something. When I came to Jesus, I found a strength that I never possessed, a power that I never knew. Amen. I've often said to people, and I still say it, God is not asking you to change yourself. He's asking you to change your mind, and that allows Him to change you. Repentance is not just God. Let's see, godly sorrow worketh repentance. It isn't repentance. Amen. You can weep at an altar over your sin, but if you don't change your mind and decide, I'm not going down this road. How many know what a cul-de-sac is? Amen. That's what repentance is. You're going this way, and you come to a place where God says you can't go any further. You can't go any further. I mean, you can, but you can't be a Christian and go any further. You're going to have to turn around and go back the way you came. Repentance is turning around, praise God. It's a 180-degree turn. Amen. And if you change your mind about your sin and repent of it, God will change your life from the inside out by His power and His strength. Who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ that vicious circle of sin and death is broken. A man under the law is in Romans 7. A man under grace is in Romans 8. Can you say amen? And grace is not a license to sin. Amen. It is the power to overcome the enemy and the flesh. Amen. Scripture said in Hebrews 10 also, but you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you shall receive a reward if you faint not. Some people start out praying fervently and end up hardly praying at all. They start out frequently and then barely. The Bible said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can you say amen? In fact, that's in Luke 8 and 1. This is one of the reasons we faint in the day of adversity. Remember the song, oh, the peace we often forfeit. Oh, the needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I see people in this room burdened that are Christians. And sometimes I carry burdens that He told me to cast on Him. In all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. What you haven't given Him in prayer, not just as some spontaneous act of faith, I commit this to God. Until you pray, nothing is committed to God. This is not just an act of faith. This is praying in faith. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. How do you know if you believe when you pray? Because you don't have it anymore. When you get up, God's got it. We prayed for your daughter one morning. I had no idea God was going to come on her like He did. But He did. He didn't knock her down, but she couldn't stand that kind of presence. She didn't fall down. She looked like a force would just lifted her up and bang. This thing is turned around because this, honey, this is hard. Her head broke the end off of that. And it scared me. The first thing the Holy Ghost rose up in me and told me to say was, God's got it. God's got to have it. God's got it. And He did. Did she have a knot? Yeah, but she didn't know she had a knot. We asked her, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. She was rejoicing that the power, that with that encounter with the power of God. I'd have probably had a concussion if I just happened to trip and fall. But this was under the Holy Spirit was moving. And the devil wanted to get into that and mess that up. But God's got it. And I remember saying God's got it, and God really did have it, and everything was fine. And the other day I was going through a trial, and the Lord brought those words back to me concerning myself and what I was going through. And He said, why don't you just holler, God's got it, and let me have it. So I just hollered, God's got it. And I felt that weight lift off of me. Praise God. Now you can't just say that. You've got to relate it to something in your heart that knows that you know that you know that He's bigger than what you're facing. And you've got to let Him stand between you and the problem and say, where is the fury of the oppressor? Can you say, man, where is this enemy? If I'm for you, then I want to know how this enemy is going to get through me to do you harm and get through me to defeat you. I want you to know there's victory in Jesus. I've been married for 41 years. We're working toward 42. That's a long time. Married to the same woman. 38 tomorrow. Praise God for that. It's tough. Marriages are under the gun, and ministers' marriages are really under the gun because the pressure of ministry sometimes hurts the relationship. And we went through times when it's hard to explain. There were times I've got up on many Christmas mornings because of the pressure and problems of other people in my home. And we would see each other. It's Christmas morning. We're both under that pressure. We'd just grab each other, hug each other, and just stand there and weep when you're supposed to be carefree and celebrating Jesus' birth. How'd you get through that? There's only one way through it. I thank God through Jesus Christ. He is the answer. It's not oversimplifying anything. Amen. Jesus is the Counselor. Jesus is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. I love that part of the song because I live that part of the great Christian song. Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. It's grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will take us home. Hallelujah. God can mend the broken heart. He can put people together. He can super glue you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh man, I said it before and I'll say it again. I wouldn't take $1 million for my wife and wouldn't give you a nickel for another one. Because she knows me, she loves me. We've been through fire and flood together, and nobody else has walked through those valleys like that. Praise God. Amen. Oh, but Brother Vimba, she's so pretty. Oh, honey. What was that great prophet? I said, pretty is pretty does. Can you say amen? Yeah, Forrest Gump. It's pretty prophetic if you stop and think about it. I think he's spot on. Pretty is what? Pretty does. I got to have that man. Because he's so handsome. He's a handsome man. I want him. Yeah. Some people marry a personality, but they end up living with a character. Can you say amen? So you better pray that through. Praise God. Pray it through. There's going to be pressure in your marriage. There's going to be pressure in your home. It's in every home. Guess what? It's everywhere. It's insidious. There's no way to get away from it. Men are from Venus. Women are from Mars. Everybody knows that. That's a book, by the way, somebody wrote, because there is a difference. Only God by the Holy Spirit. Somebody said we have an end-time marriage, a very prophetic marriage. Wars and rumors of wars. Amen? And we're chuckling because we know it's true. There's pressure. Somebody said we never argue. We never have an argument. We never. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's all I got to say. We all have disagreements. We all have opportunities to have a wedge between us. It happens. It's part of the pressures. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Pray. Don't faint. Don't give in. Don't give up. Oh, there's so much scripture and it's time to quit. But David said, I had fainted. Life had crushed me unless I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Right here, not in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty here and now. When I call on God, He hears me. When I call on God, He helps me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'd be crushed if I didn't believe that. Men ought always to pray and faint not. So the first reason for faint-heartedness and the first antidote for it is prayer. And it doesn't mean just asking God for help. Because true prayer, biblically defined, is not just making petitions to God. It's walking in a fellowship relationship with God. You don't say our Father to someone that is distant, but someone that is close. Prayer begins with entering into relationship, a fellowship relationship, an intimacy with the Father. And nothing greater. I remember Sean talking about pressure, a particular pressure in his life that was overwhelming, except that he said he just sat down and he put on some Christian praise music. And here's what he said to me that he felt. And only God can do this for anyone. No Christian counselor can do it. Just Bible study can't do it unless it brings you into that relationship with Him. He said, and I felt like the Lord reached down and wrapped His arms around me. Now, you know where that came from? The Bible said the love of God that He was allowed to experience is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. This is His office. This is His work. And it had to inspire the song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. Can you say amen? I've been hugged by people that had a knife in their hand. Right between the shoulder blades. Judas did what to Jesus? Jesus looked at him in the eye after he hugged him and kissed him on the cheek and said, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Can you say amen? So the kisses of people, amen, may or may not be sincere. Don't know nothing about that. Time will tell. Come on, time will tell. You know what a true friend is? Everybody say, please tell me. It's somebody that's walking in when everybody else is walking out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what we all need from God, and that's what we need from one another. When everybody's walking out, we need somebody to come walking in and say, I'm not going to quit you. I'm not going to give up on you. Amen. I'm here for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there is a friend like that. Praise God. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a commitment of hearts that can be made. Allow me to say this as we do close. Every marital relationship should be based primarily upon friendship. That kind of committed friendship. I remember one marriage that I performed, and the groom and the bride both told me, when you're pronouncing us husband and wife, we would like you to pronounce us this way. Whatever leads you up to that point is up to you, but when you pronounce us husband and wife, say, I pronounce you husband and wife and forever friends. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And forever friends. Praise God. And if you find a forever friend, hallelujah. And that's what I love about God. Even as far back as Abraham in the old covenant, Abraham was called. What was he called? The friend of God. And in the new covenant, Jesus said, I have not called you servants, doulos, or slaves. I have called you friends. Praise God. And to have a relationship, a familial, not only is he our father, he's our friend. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All of that between us has been settled at the cross. And now when we need help, we don't run from him. When we fail or falter, we run to him. Can you say amen? I found a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Glory be to God. If you find yourself angry and you can't handle it, ask God to help you handle it. Pray to him. Cry out to him. David said, I cried unto the Lord. He heard me and answered me from his holy hill. Glory to God. Isn't it good to know there's a victory? There's an antidote for faint-heartedness when you're ready to throw in the towel. Someone said when your knees can no longer support you, fall on them. Hallelujah. Because Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on their knees. Because it's no more your strength, no more your power. It's God's grace, God's strength, and God's power that's being brought into play. Hallelujah. I wasn't sure I'd get up, but I knew you would help me. Me and old school, we know things the rest of you don't know yet. But God is good today. God is good today. There's victory in your marriage today. There's victory in your home today. There's victory in your life today. You don't have to let him keep defeating you. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If I faint when the trouble comes, then my strength is small. I got to close, but there's one more scripture so important. While we are yet in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, think on these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus, Brother Taylor. How many people in here want to continue to be challenged to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil so that you can live in the victory that God has promised and provided through Jesus Christ? How many want to be able to get up with God lifting you up when you get knocked down? See, Christian victory is not never getting knocked down. It's always getting up. It's always, I'm not talking about a life of always being beat up and battered. I'm telling you, everybody's going to need God to lift you out of a place at some point in your walk with God. And He is my glory. David said, He's my shield, He's my glory, and He is the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. 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 When my heart, not if, but when it occurs, because it's going to happen, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, He's talking to God. That's it. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for the Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. Can you say amen? So lead me, Lord, to that rock that is higher than I. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you pray, God is going to put your focus on Himself. He's going to take away the peripheral. Amen. He wants you to see Him and His greatness, His goodness, His love for you, His power, His strength, so that you know with His help, you can overcome and you can rise up again and you can become, amen, the man of God, the woman of God that He's called you, commissioned you, and equipped you to be. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Everybody say there's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, some people think that Prince Charming, of course I understand why they think that Prince Charming married Sleeping Beauty. Let me tell you something about Sleeping Beauty. She woke up. She sure was pretty while she was laying there sleeping. But she gonna wake up. And guess what? Some women married this guy. They think it's Prince Charming. After a few months into the marriage, they look over and it's Shrek. I can't believe I married Shrek. They put him in bed with his wife in the king's palace in one of the episodes. They got up in the morning. They look at one another. And she says, "Morning breath." And he says, "Isn't it wonderful?" There is no fairy tale marriages. Marriages work because people work at it and they trust God through it. And it takes two to make it work. But if two people come together and pull together in unity, God is going to defend it. God is going to sustain it. And it will weather the storms of life. Praise God. I'm in love with my wife. Amen. I wouldn't trade her for anybody in the whole wide world. Till death do us part is what we committed to. And there's no way in the world that we could keep that commitment. And we were doing things that would have destroyed our marriage when we both met Christ. And when we both, I don't mean just went to church, feigned it. When we both made Jesus the Lord of our life. Amen. He super glued us. Glory to God. Amen. So this is not a storybook marriage. This is a biblical marriage. And the Bible's not a storybook. It's God's holy word. This is not a fable or a fairy tale. This is real life. And God's word works in this fallen world for these faulty bodies. In this world, You shall have thelpsis, tribulation, pressure and anguish, but be of good cheer. Don't faint. I've overcome the world. Can you say, man, I've went before you. I've experienced what you are experiencing. And I know how to deliver you. And I know how to take you through. Anyone encouraged today to fight the good fight of faith and to not give in and not give up? That's what we tried to achieve today. Give him praise again. Give him a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What would happen if everybody in here gave it to God and said, God's got it before we leave this room? And he could grant unto us the victory that he's promised and provided. I don't know how God's going to bring some of your loved ones in. There's some of mine still out there. I don't know how he's going to bring them in, what it's going to take. But I know one thing. When I carry it, I get faint-hearted. When I give it to God, I feel that lightness. I feel that freedom. I feel that energy. I feel that love of life. I can embrace life and love the life that God has given me because I know God is at work behind the scenes. Hallelujah. Hang on. Remember James Cleveland? Back when I was a young Christian, James Cleveland had a lot of music out. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Hold on. A little while seemed like a long time when you're under the gun. Amen. But it's worth holding on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on. And then he used to sing. I used to follow that up with, Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out. Till my change come, because I know it's coming. Help me to hold out till it comes. Can you say amen? All right. Quote this scripture. Will you stand up so you know I'm serious about quitting? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen carefully. But you have need of patience. Hebrews 10. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. For you shall be rewarded if you faint not. Glory to God. For he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. That's not about the rapture, the second coming of Jesus to rule and reign. That's about God manifesting the answer to prayer. We used to sing that song of hope. Hallelujah. The answer is on the way. This I know. Jesus said it. I believe it, and it's so. Hallelujah. Your heavenly Father knows your need before you pray. So rest assured, the answer is on the way. Can you say amen? I don't know how God's going to do all that I got before him today. But I believe the answer's on the way, Sister Venable. And that's why I'm not fainting. Glory to God. Amen. I feel joy today and victory today. I want to shout, God's got it, to the devil. Hallelujah. Because I've given it to him. Hallelujah. Did I give you that? Let's give him praise in this song. You know this song. And I want you to walk out of here free and hopeful.